This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. It is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sando, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. So earlier we did like the, you know, AMA episode, Ask Matt Anything.
AMMA. Ask Matt More Anything.
That's because we did the leftovers of what we did last week. And in one of those questions we had earlier was about, you know, I guess living off the grid, but not so off the grid. And I, you know, you brought up the fact that we still are living with retro tech items. And I guess I asked you, like, you know, what was the one device that changed your life in technology? Was CDs?
I said the CD.
You know, for me, it'd be like, you know, the Walkman or the CD player and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, so, like, I could have said the Walkman as well.
That's an easy pick.
Easy pick.
Everyone will pick the Walkman, right? But if you fast forward to 2019. You know, in my room, you can still find retro tech everywhere. And it's, you know, maybe because I'm a tech guy, but I've seen it so common now that it's in malls and, you know, I can buy a vinyl player in most of the shopping malls here in Malaysia. I can get vinyls as well in most of the shopping malls. I've started using film camera and I get my films developed at a shop nearby my house. And if that shop's closed, I've got one nearby the office. It's not difficult. That's what people would think. Oh, it's going to be difficult to develop the film. They're not that as costly as I thought they would be. I don't know, like, do you ever think retro tech will ever go away, or it's just going to forever stay here?
I mean, I think people like physical, tangible items. You mentioned, obviously, CDs. I still buy CDs, and I buy a lot of old CDs as well. So I'm part of a few groups where people source unwanted CDs and sell them on for cheap. And, you know, much to my wife's horror, I have thousands of CDs in the house, smaller amounts of vinyl. No cassettes at the moment. I did have a great cassette collection, but my mum kindly threw it away a few years ago. I went out to where I thought it was being stored because I was going to take a couple of boxes and bring them back to here. And she was like, oh, no, I put them in a tip. So I was like, okay, lovely. That's a few hundred cassettes disappeared. But what can you do? I think most of this technology will stay. I have to say, for me, the one physical technology I don't miss is the DVD player. You know, a lot of people, I've got a lot of friends who say they prefer putting the DVD on and watching the movie that way. I never really got that enjoyment from DVDs, probably because I've got a cheap TV player and I don't have a fantastic sound system. So for me, streaming is fine because I get to watch what I want, when I want. I don't have to worry about the disc skipping or crackling or any of that nonsense. And of course, it's much easier to kind of pause and go back and all that kind of nonsense.
But it's also the fact that you feel you've got ownership. Now, we're talking about this because there was an article on Vox.com and talks about the enduring allure of retro tech. And, you know, it talks about DVDs. It talks about the Walkman being like the first kind of device. It talks about the, I guess, you know, the resurrection of cassettes. And in 2017, there was like a rise of cassette tape sales in the US. It increased by 136%. It's a fascinating article and it got me thinking, and like, I actually have fallen in love more with retro tech than ever before. And one of the facts is because, like you mentioned, you know, you have that emotional connection to these physical devices. You feel like you actually own these things. Like, you know, when you found out that your cassettes were thrown away, you feel that pain. But, you know, when I lost my, you know, digital photos on my laptop when my hard drive crashed, the pain wasn't, I guess, as painful as I will, if, you know, if I lost
an album,
like an album, and, you know, I really feel it because I've seen it, I've touched it, I felt it, I know how it is to open. But when it's in digital, it's just like, you know, I'm just clicking mouse buttons or tapping on my screens, and if I lose it, I'll be like, yeah, within a day, I'll be like, I'll get over it. But I still can't get over the fact that, you know, I may have lost some albums before.
Well, I mean, I think there's, you know, certainly look at books, for example. Now, a lot of us read digital books. I listen to audiobooks, but there are some books that, even though I bought the ebook version or whatever, I might go out and buy the physical book because I simply want to own that. The same with, you know, I listen to a lot of music on streaming services, but once I have my favorites, I tend to go out and buy a physical version of that because I want to have a physical version that I can own. I don't find, and again, this is just a personal thing, I don't find my attachment to movies is quite the same because I'll go back and I'll revisit books. I'll go back and, you know, you listen to music over and over again. But when I watch a movie again, I don't get that same pleasure from actually owning the physical cover.
Yeah.
I just like watching the film. So to me, it doesn't really matter if I'm watching it in a digital format or, or you know, and let's face it, streaming and a DVD, there's not really going to be a huge amount of difference. You know, I don't find film such a tactile experience, possibly because, you know, when I was a kid, it was all on the movie screens and on VCR anyway. So maybe you didn't have that as well.
I don't have that connection with movies. I mean, I have favorite movies, but...
not in terms of ownership, right? You know, as long as you can watch it.
Albums,
you want to look at the artwork, you want to look at the credits. You know, I've never taken my... looked at, you know, picked up a DVD and... You know, I've been really fascinated by the small print on the back of it, not in the way that I am with a record.
Let us know what is your kind of favorite retro tech. You could tweet at BFM Radio, or you could tweet one of us. We'll be right back with King of Culture after this, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. It is Geek Squawks. My name is Jas Andu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. King of Culture, what do we have?
King of Culture is best ofs. It's the end of the year, so you get every, you know, online site, whatever, is publishing its best of lists.
Yeah.
And I love this time of year because...
Don't you find them repetitive or boring?
No, I do. I do find them repetitive, but... That's part and parcel of it. I mean, so for example, I was looking at some roundups of the best record releases of 2019, and I found quite a few that I missed or never heard of or whatever. And it's the same across the same across the board, whether it's books or movies or games, you know, any kind of entertainment. This is a great time to find those things you've missed. And yes, you said things can be a bit repetitive, but go to some of the geekier sites.
If
you're into movies, go to one of the movie fan forums and look at the best ofs there. Go to some of the nerdy music sites or some of the real bookworm sites and see what people there are recommending. You know, start with the mainstream ones. And yes, there is a lot of duplication, but then go and start looking at the more kind of left field stuff and the stuff that you wouldn't normally get, because I find that kind of pushes me first through the first kind of 3 months of the next year, because I'm just watching all the TV shows and movies that I missed. I'm catching up on those. I'm listening to a lot of music I missed. Last year, gosh, I think I haven't even got through all of the books from last year's recommendation lists, you know, especially as, you know, when you start looking at it by genre as well. If somebody's got a list of the best 50 crime fiction books of that year, and you're also a fan of science fiction, and you're also a fan of, you know, whatever other genres as well, you can quickly end up with, you know, 100 books that you want to read, or 100 albums you want to listen to, or 100 movies and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's my culture pick for this week. Go and have a look at the best of lists. This is the best time to catch up on the year's culture.
One of the most popular, YouTuber that does tech reviews, he posted up a video, you know, talking about the favorite tech gadgets that he's seen throughout the year, and then he sort of like collaborated with other kind of YouTubers, and some of them were pretty interesting, like, you know, Elon Musk, he's the flamethrower thing, you know, that was like one of the picks. The YouTuber himself picked like this, you know, this really amazing camera that could go into the microscopic details and stuff because he's a great YouTuber anyways. But some of the other kind of contributors to that list was just picking things like the iPhone 11 Pro, earbuds Pro, and
absolutely.
All that. And
I mean,
that's just a given fact.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, yeah. So you will get a lot in those lists, but yeah, if you kind of like dig slightly deeper
and, you know, look below the surface and, you know, just start exploring.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Mars because we've spoken about space in AMA, in AMMA, and in other kind of MSP shows. I'm just throwing out acronyms here. People are lost. What is AMA, AMMA?
MSP, CGX, SPCO.
So we have to really start looking at the idea of perhaps maybe one day living in Mars could be a reality. So what do we do now to prepare ourselves for that reality is we get a really established furniture design company to start thinking about spaces. And we may live, like you mentioned, right? We may live in small little cubicles in bubbles. And what do? We send the best one who could probably create furniture in those spaces, and they have done it. IKEA have actually mimicked how is it like to live in Mars because they have sent designers to the Mars Desert Research Station, or the MDRS, which created a habitat in Utah desert that mimics the condition of the Red Planet. And it's really small, as you would presume. But if you looked at the catalogs that they have, it's actually pretty impressive because the space is really tiny, and it's I guess, you know, small and stark is the word that they're describing. But you can actually see a lot of useful things. They've got, you know, the very, I guess, IKEA-ish lamp. The shots that you could find this in Fast Company, or if you just Google the story, you could find some of the catalogs here, and they look absolutely amazing. And it looks like living in Mars would actually be very comfortable. Would be like home.
I mean, it kind of makes sense where you have these kind of very small utilitarian spaces that you get a company with a great deal of interior design expertise. Because let's not forget that IKEA also manufacture housing. They do prefab housing in some parts of the world as well. So they do have a lot of expertise in these kind of building these integrated systems. You know, sometimes we do tend to joke about the company. It has become shorthand for a certain kind of design or style. But when you're looking at these very kind of modular, useful and integrated systems, they do have that vision. So I think it is quite useful for them to be working on these kind of habitats and exploration habitats, because we are going to need that livability if we do send, you know, if Elon Musk does send a team of colonists out to Mars, they are going to want to be comfortable. It's not going to be enough for them to live in the kind of conditions that, say, the Russian cosmonauts lived on their first space station, which were apparently, you know, very basic and quite horrific. People are going to need to be comfortable. They're going to need to have their mental health nourished as much as their physical health. And also they're going to need to have space away from each other in very constrained conditions. So,
go and check out the catalog. It looks just like any other IKEA catalog. But just bear in mind, this is how probably Mars would look like. So, you know, in the future, if you go to Mars, you know, you won't be so alien.
I want space to look like all those 1960s and 70s science fiction movies, which were all that kind of very futurist, sleek design where they got... where they got all the great designers involved in the movie production. That's what I want to see.
Anyways, let us know what you want to see Mars looking like. What do we have for Geek Tunes, Matt?
Well, we have a song to celebrate you and me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the latest from Mark Ronson, guest vocals from Anderson .Paak. This is from the forthcoming animated movie Spies in Disguise. This is Then There Were Two.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.